Now for just a few symbols found in painting and in iconography. These, of course, are extremely numerous, and we've time this evening only for two or three examples. Now, I've already referred to the tankas, or painted scrolls. I've already mentioned how vivid and how brilliant their colours are. And these painted scrolls, are not just for beautiful decoration. They're not just to hang in your shrine to decorate it. These are aids to visualization. And as I've indicated, they're painted in accordance with tradition. And the tradition derives ultimately from somebody's meditation. Long ago, usually, or sometimes not so long ago, a great saint, a great meditator, a great mystic, a great yogi, in his meditation, saw this sort of divine vision dawn. And he described it to his disciples. He might have written about it. He might, even if he was an artist himself, have tried to paint or to draw it. And then anybody else who wants to meditate upon that form or that figure, that aspect of reality, does so by means of a drawing or a painting deriving from that tradition which goes back to the original experience. I shall be speaking at greater length about the actual process of visualization in meditation in the lecture on Tibetan Buddhist meditation itself the week after next, and also a little next time, that is to say next week, when dealing with the subject of the four foundation yogas of the Tibetan Tantra. I've already said that the tankas are painted in bright, in jewel-like colours. So let me say a few words about the symbolism in Tibetan Buddhist art of colours themselves. The colour is very often a very important key to the significance of the visualised forms. The forms visualised in meditation, forms of Buddhas, Bodhisattvas and so on. If you know what colour the form is, what colour the Buddha is, the Bodhisattva is, then you'll have a rough and ready idea of its general spiritual significance. For the purposes of Tibetan Buddhist iconography, there are five colours. First of all, there's red. A very deep, brilliant, rich, vivid red. And red, in the Tibetan Buddhist, especially tantric tradition, is the colour of love and compassion. We tend to think of red in the West as the colour of anger, but not in Tibet. In Tibet, they think of this red. I can't see any red like it around me. Perhaps these candles come nearest. But it's very, very deep. At the same time, very bright, very rich, and very vivid. Very brilliant. And this represents love and compassion. If you see a red deity, a red Buddha, or a red Bodhisattva, or a red Dargani, then you can be sure that they represent the Buddha nature, or the Buddha mind, or the enlightened being, under the aspect of love or compassion. So this is red. Then green. Green represents usually peace, pacification, and salvation from dangers. Psychologists tell us nowadays that green is a very pacifying colour. If you're rather nervy, if you're rather anxious, if you worry a lot, if you're tense, then you're advised to decorate your room, if you can, if you're allowed to, if the landlady permits, with green. And this will have a pacifying effect. So one finds, therefore, in the Tibetan tradition also, green is the colour of peace and pacification and calm and tranquility and salvation from fears and dangers of every kind. Then there's yellow. Brilliant, rich, vivid yellow. This is the colour of growth, of prosperity, of riches, even worldly riches, of beauty and of maturation. Yellow is the colour of sunlight, of course, and it's the light of the sun and the warmth of the sun which brings everything material to perfection, to a state of maturity. So this is what yellow represents in the Tibetan iconographical tradition. Then there's light and dark blue, a sort of Oxford and Cambridge blue, if you like, and these both represent knowledge. Knowledge of the absolute, knowledge of the truth, knowledge of the undifferentiated absolute. Knowledge of shunyata in Buddhist terminology. This is the colour of the unclouded sky, blue. And then added to these, there's also black and white. White represents purity, as in all traditions apparently. It represents also primordial being, being from the beginning, being as transcending time, or the absolute reality as transcendent over time. And then black, and also very dark blue, these have the same significance. They represent, they symbolize death and destruction. But this is something positive. Black and dark blue, or very dark blue, represent enlightenment in its negative aspect as annihilation of ignorance. If you see a dark blue figure or a black figure, usually with a wrathful expression, this represents enlightenment itself, the Buddha or Bodhisattva himself, under the aspect of destruction of spiritual ignorance. So from this we can see, from this we can say, that you can tell the general nature of a deity in Tibetan Buddhist art, whether Buddha or Bodhisattva, representing this or that aspect of enlightenment, from the colour. If the deity is connected with peace, well, you know that because it's green. If it's connected with love, you'll know that because it's red. If it's connected with purification, you'll know that because it's white, sometimes very pale blue, and so on. For instance, you've got the green Tara, the green goddess of mercy, Western writers usually call her, but it's not quite that. It's a sort of a Buddha form, a female Buddha form, because in the Tantra we have female Buddhas as well as male Buddhas. The Tantra doesn't differentiate in this way. So the green Tara is that form of Tara which is concerned with peace, pacification, salvation from dangers, and so on. And in the same way, there's the red Kurukule, a rather extraordinary sort of female Buddha figure, bright red in colour. And being bright red, she represents the love aspect, the passion aspect, if you like, of the enlightened mind.